You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the crowd stood watch on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. There they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly. But since they had no depth of soil, they died quickly. The sun rose, and they were scorched. They had no root, and they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But he cares for the world and the lure of wealth, choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case 100, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess to you that we are not good soil. We are not always ready to receive your word. And yet we give you thanks that you give your word anyway. You pour out your grace and your word abundantly. And you let faith grow in us. We thank you and we ask your help in having faith. Amen. Well, I like to garden. And when I was a teenager, it bothered me that we did not have a vegetable garden at our house. It really bothered me because I had memories of having a huge vegetable garden. We lived on a cul-de-sac, a big cul-de-sac with land in the middle. And there was a season where the neighbors came together and we had like a community farm practically. It was so big and abundant with corn and and okra, because our neighbor Lee was from Oklahoma, so we had to grow okra. And there was other vegetables too. And it was so much fun as a kid. Well, fast forward to when I was a teenager, there was no community garden. And I really wanted us to have one. So I petitioned the local landowners to loan me some land. And I'm talking about, of course, my mom and dad. Now, the thing you got to understand about agriculture in where I grew up in Sedona is that we lived near Oak Creek. Now that meant we had irrigation. And that is a very powerful thing. When you live in the desert and you don't get a lot of rain, if you live in an area with irrigation, that means you're close enough to some kind of a river or a creek that people have engineered for millennia. There's evidence even before, you know, Europeans came and settled, that indigenous people also irrigated. And you make a ditch, you go upstream, and you find a way where you can dig a canal and bring that water, parallel it to the river, slightly uphill, and then that water runs downhill wherever you want it to, and you can grow, and you can grow. And so the area that we lived in had tremendous potential to produce. So we had the land, we had the water. I finally had the permission from Mom and Dad. So I marked out a rectangle plot in our front yard. I had the pick, I had the shovel, I had the hoe, and I tell you, I went to work. I decimated that Bermuda grass. I turned and I churned and I raked and I sorted and I got it all out until the land, the deep red earth of the Sedona Red Rock, was ready. I sculpted it into furrows. I had irrigation water so that it could run in between the furrows, saturating it. And you know, just for a little bit of fun, just for a little bit of fun before I planted the seed, even though, you know, I was a teenager, I kind of had this desire to play in the mud. So when the earth was all wet, I went in with my feet and I sunk them deep into the muddy earth and felt the mud ooze between my toes. And it was kind of fun, you know. Well, right as I was doing this, wearing my raggedy old t-shirt and shorts, guess which car pulled up to our house? It was the new pastor's car to our church, Pastor Quello. He had come to meet with my dad. My dad is a builder and would be helping the pastor with his house. So I was kind of embarrassed that I was sitting there playing in the mud, a teenager, when Pastor Quello showed up, and he walked up with a big smile and indicated that I was making a garden. He thought that was cool and he wished me well. So, not long after that, I planted the seeds. I had selected what I wanted. I think I was going for a salsa garden. That way you get the tomatoes, you get the jalapenos, you grow some cilantro, maybe some onion, everything you need to make salsa. It was all in its rows, it was all in its places. I had seeds, I had starters, and away we went. And what do you think happened? Not much. The seeds sprouted, but they didn't really grow. And as the summer went on and I went to church, the pastor asked me, how's the garden? And I was pretty disappointed. It's not really taken off. And the neighbors that saw me working out there so hard would ask, oh, how's the garden going? Not so good. I felt kind of disillusioned and disappointed. And I have to confess something kind of fun about this was at that time, you know, growing up in Sedona, Arizona, there was this really popular book called The Celestine Prophecy that I had read, and it was about psychic energy, and I was so desperate to get these plants to grow. I remember sitting cross-legged, you know, kind of praying and meditating and just willing the plants to grow, but nothing seemed to work. Jesus talks to us today about that same kind of disappointment when seeds don't grow. He tells us the parable of the sower. And in this parable, the sower goes and plants seeds, throws seeds, spreads them all over the place, spreads them on the road, on rocks, on thorny weeds, and Some of them fall on good soil, and you know how the story goes. Most of the seeds don't grow. They don't succeed. In the parable, the interpretation is pretty straightforward. Jesus is the sower. The seeds are the word of God. We are the soil. Some of us are too busy to receive the word of God. Some of us are distracted by other pursuits. Some of us are afflicted by the evil one that comes and snatches the word of God away. When the seed grows, though, when the word of God takes root in the soil, in us, in our hearts, it grows, and that would be faith. Faith is what happens when we receive the word of God. So what's the point of this story? The point of the story is that God, even though we might be unprepared for the word of God, even though we may not be worthy, even though we might be busy, God generously gives God's word to us anyway. God doesn't discriminate who's ready and who's not ready to receive the word of God. In a way, God doesn't care if you're good soil or not. God gives you the seed. Think about the scandal of the sower in this story. Think about an ancient farmer. Every seed you have is precious. Even still today, farmers pay a lot of money for seeds. Home gardeners, you can spend a lot of money getting seeds. And this farmer is just throwing the seeds, apparently recklessly, on the rocks, on the path, in the weeds, on the good soil, on the soil that looks good but has rocks underneath. Wasteful with the word of God. And Jesus says, that's me. Jesus says, I'm the sower. I give my seed where I want to. And I don't judge how worthy you are. You get it. You get to have God's word, whether you are worthy or not. And there's a word for that. It's called grace. The unmerited love of God, no matter who you are, no matter if you're great and you follow the rules and you're ready to receive the word, or if you're busy, or if you're sinning, it doesn't matter. God gives you the word, the grace, and the love of God through Jesus Christ. The seed will grow where it does. Miracles can happen. So, from our first reading this morning, thank you, Ingrid Tom, for reading it. We have the same idea supported by the prophet Isaiah, who says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, bringing forth and sprouting seed, so the sower and bread to the eater, so my word that goes out from my mouth shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Friends, we cannot earn God's salvation. It is a gift, whether you are worthy or not. Whether you're good soil or not, God gives you the seed, and God will make it grow where it will. So what about my little garden when I was in high school? As I told you, the plants never really grew all that much. As the summer faded into the fall, and it became clear that these plants were not going anywhere, you know, I looked at them carefully. What was the matter? There was no fungus growing on them. There was no insect eating them. The water, the soil had just enough, not too much. I followed all the instructions. Finally, exacerbated, I asked my parents for help. I said, Mom and Dad, would you please come out and tell me, what am I doing wrong here? So they came with me to the front yard, and we looked at the little garden, and they were smiling. They kind of knew, right? And one parent, dad, probably, pointed to the east side of the garden. The side where, you know, the sun comes up. You get that bright morning desert sun. And he said, "Son, what do you see on the east side of your garden?" And I said, "I see the plum tree and I see the apple tree." And then my mom pointed to the south side of the garden. And she said, "What do you see there?" And I said, "I see the apricot tree and the peach tree." And by now I was starting to catch on. They didn't have to say anything. Beyond them were the tall sycamore and cottonwood trees. I looked to the west and I saw the almond tree and the weeping willow tree and the Mondale pine trees. And right now, it was during the day, they said, "Is your garden in sun or not?" I looked at it. It was not. It was totally in shade. Does it get sun in the morning? No. Does it get sun in the late morning? No. Does it get sun at noon? That was pretty much the only time it was getting sun, was at the very middle of the day when the sun was at its zenith. And then right away, it was back in shade. It didn't have enough sun. But then I looked more closely. Even though I was disappointed with my lack of vegetables, I looked at each of those trees, and what were they full of? Bumper crops of plum, peach, apricot, apple, almond, cotton from the cottonwood, which is not really a thing that you could use. But the point was, the trees were thriving and producing. Why had I worked so hard on a vegetable garden when there was more than enough work to do just picking the fruit that was already there? Pruning the branches, fertilizing the soil, caring for these trees. Why would you plant a vegetable garden in the middle of an orchard? That is what God's grace is. We get so busy trying to justify ourselves, trying to earn God's salvation, trying to take on a project of proving our worthiness, when really we're just playing in the mud. And God is making abundance grow all around us, a free gift of salvation, more than you need, yielding 100-fold, 200-fold, 600-fold. Consider the blessing of our ancestors who worked hard planting and creating bounty that we could care for. Consider the hard work of our brothers and sisters, of farmers and farm workers who tend to the earth that make abundance grow. Consider God's salvation, a free gift that God gives to us, not because we earn it or deserve it, but simply because God loves us. So what can we do? We can have faith. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.